Hey guys, welcome back to What's On Your Mind podcast. I am so sorry that I missed last week's episode, but I promise you this week's episode hopefully will make up for it. Today's episode is a little bit different than what I normally post. It's a conversation with somebody that I don't know personally, but she reached out to me and we talk about interesting stuff. We talk about human rights, injustice, inequalities, which is pretty interesting stuff if you ask me. So her name is Daniela Figueroa. I think that's how you pronounce her name. I don't know how to pronounce names. Honestly, it's my bad. But I'm going to let her introduce herself. And so without further ado, let's just get into the episode. Welcome to What's On Your Mind podcast with me, Michelle. Here we're going to talk about everything that's on your mind, things that are keeping you up at 2 a.m. in the morning, or random thoughts that you're having when you're in the shower. You will laugh or cry, but at least it's spoken and it's not just buried inside your mind. Hey guys, welcome back to What's On Your Mind podcast. And today I have a special guest. Her name is Daniela Figueroa. Is that how you pronounce
it? It's okay. everyone says it differently.
Like, I'm really bad at names, so it's not your name, it's just me. But we're going to talk about something different today. I actually never even thought that I would talk about this specific topic that I'm going to talk about with her in this podcast, just because I don't know a lot about it and I don't know anybody around me, like in my circle, that knows a lot about it. So I'm so glad that she reached out and pitching the idea to talk about human rights. So I am so glad that you reached out. Thank you so much. And before we start, do you want to talk a little bit about yourself?
So yeah, I'm Daniela Figueroa. I'm from Ottawa, Canada. I just finished studying international development and globalization at the University of Ottawa. At the moment, I'm working within a government international branch, so an agency within the government that works in international affairs as a junior analyst. And I'm hoping to go to law school in the following year, in 2021. So that's a little bio about me.
Oh my gosh, that is so impressive.
Thank you.
So impressive. So cool. So you just graduated. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Before we start, I have some icebreaker questions for you, just for you to get comfortable talking to me. Okay, first question. What's your best purchase under $100 in the last 3 months?
Probably a pair of Lululemons that were like, but they're like $98. Like, it's just right at the cutoff range.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love the Trainer Times. The Trainer Times Lululemons. I feel like nothing else can like support you and hold you in like those.
I have to give it a try. What's your favorite TV show?
I feel like I love Jane the Virgin. Like, I love
that's
that
funny.
Show.
That is so funny.
But if you want something more serious, then like, I like Suits, for example, or Money Heist.
I have to check it out. I watch Jane the Virgin. I watch Money Heist, but this year I don't think I've watched
that.
Okay. So for those people that are not very familiar with human rights or justice, I mean, human rights by itself is pretty self-explanatory, I would say. People get the idea, but not really a lot of people that I know or myself dig deeper besides knowing what it means. Could you kind of describe a little bit about it, what human rights are or like why they're important and stuff? That'd be interesting to know about.
Yeah, well, if you think about it, because I'm not sure if you, do you live in like a Western context?
Okay, so I grew up in Indonesia. So I was born in Indonesia. Lived there for 17 years, so I grew up there, and then I moved here to the U.S., so right now I live in the U.S. So, I mean, I feel like I get the sense of both differences between, like, developed country and still developing country.
Yes.
I can see the difference for sure, you know, the injustice, the inequalities, and stuff like that, but it'll be interesting to see where you come from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so basically with human rights, like, it's a very Western idea in that way, just because a lot of the time in developing countries, you still see now, like, there's still power relations in that way. Like, we still have issues of corruption here in the US and in Canada. I'm not going to say that in a Western context, we don't. However, a lot of the time, our justice systems are more structured. Mm-hmm. They're structured in a way where there still are some things that slip through that aren't right. However, it's a lot easier to bring someone to court for something that you feel was wrongfully done to you. However, yeah, human rights are really in that place, I think, to be able to allow humans to develop in like their best sense and not really face any injustices, as we were saying. Like, it's so that people can be the best that they can be without having to really like face anything or be harmed in any wrongful way, like ethically, if you think about it, if you go back to like these political philosophers that were think what's right from wrong. Mm-hmm. That's really where it comes from in that way. However, the one document that really kind of brought this whole concept out was the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. So that's from the United Nations. Mm-hmm. But that's also, you have to think, that's also a Western creation, like the UN itself.
Yeah.
That's basically the main document. The thing with this document is it's not binding, which means you don't have to, countries are not obligated to follow the rules that are put out on this. So there still are things that go on in the world. And even if there were a document, and there probably are, because there's quite a few international instruments that deal with these things, mm-hmm. But not necessarily calling it human rights. It could be, for example, something in regards to women's livelihoods, which kind of intersects with human rights in a way.
Yeah.
But yeah, and they could be binding, and there are countries that sign them, but there's still things that go on.
Right.
For example, yeah. So that's like a brief overview.
Yeah. Well, how did you first kind of encounter your passion in human rights and justice?
For me, my passion really came from in my second year. I started doing a lot of research on like the machismo culture, which is kind of like the patriarch culture within Latin America, because my background is Latin American. My parents are Latin American. So that's kind of where it became a little bit more personal for me in that way. So I did end up writing a paper on patriarchal structures, so the machismo culture, really, within Guatemala, because in 2007, I believe, there was a very large spike in femicides. So that's the killing of women.
Wow.
In an attempt, because they're women, inherently.
Wow.
And a lot of the time it was more concentrated within indigenous women. So in addition, that's like another layer of vulnerability. So that really piqued my interest, because I was like, how can people just be going around killing innocent women, and let alone indigenous innocent women, and then just get away with it? But then you realize it's really institutionalized in that way. There's patriarchal structures embedded within the institutions. So I started looking at what was going on in the judicial system at that point, what was going on in law enforcement at that point. And a lot of the time they were also contributing to the problem. So yeah, there's a lot of gender inequality there as well.
Yeah.
That like contributes to like these human rights violations.
Got you. So were your parents kind of make you an advocate yourself, or were they an advocate themselves too?
Well, my parents, like since I was young, they've really kind of opened me to different like larger issues going on in the world. Mm-hmm. Like, and I've always had like a very kind of international outlook on things. Like, I've always been interested by international things. But yeah, I was brought up, like a lot of issues were brought up to me at a young age. And like, my parents were academics themselves, so they were kind of interested in those things as well, especially my mom. Mm-hmm. She was the one that like kind of brought up this issue of machismo with me, like this patriarchal culture within Latin America. And that's kind of how I started diving into those things in university.
Yeah. That is very cool.
My parents, yeah.
So this might be very oblivious. I don't know. But
no, it's okay.
I just finished watching Orange is the New Black. I don't know if you watched that.
Yes, I love that show too.
Well, at first I wasn't really into it, but I like to finish where I started, so I just stick with it. And the season progressed, I feel like my eyes were open and I didn't realize that happening. I didn't realize that it was so sad. Maybe the show exaggerated a little bit, maybe not, I'm not sure, but my heart just shattered when I watched it, especially the last season when it took place in a new setting in the ICE detention center. Not trying to give spoiler to anybody, but like, yeah, it's very heartbreaking to see that.
It is.
To see like parents get separated from their kids, loved ones get separated from each other, and all of that kind of stuff, or like guards beating up on inmates and stuff like that. And I mean, I can't imagine what is going on over there. Being an immigrant myself, like I said, I moved here when I was 17. I'm glad that this show brings such awareness to people. Not that they're promoting any like solution, but at least they're bringing up something that not a lot of people know about, such as myself. So I kind of want to know what you think about it. I'm sure you've watched the show because you said you love it. But have you had any personal experience regarding this issue, or like what you think about this awareness that they try to bring up in the show?
Yeah, I've never visited a prison or anything.
Yeah, me
like,
too.
You always hear about it growing up, kind of like that, like prison, it's where the people right. that did something wrong, that's where they right. go.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's interesting. I really enjoyed that show because it gave me a different perspective on things. Like I never would have imagined it. I mean, you imagine it in your head what it's like, but you imagine like one person per cell, kind of onto the next one.
Right.
But you don't really realize that, you know, maybe there's four people in a cell and how that plays out. So I think it really gives that perspective. And also like, and I think that probably is a reality. And even more came out of that for me was that that was in like a Western context, developing kind of like, how does that run?
Yeah.
And I've heard my grandma talk about it too, because my parents are Chilean. And she says, yeah, like then in Chile, like the cells are full. So I don't even know what that means. Like I can't quantify that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's definitely, it gives a good perspective. And yeah, like we know that no justice system is perfect either. Yeah, I think it's good though. It gives people a good perspective on the reality of things.
For sure. Because I feel like we as society, we really don't pay that much close attention to people that is not directly to us. If it doesn't really directly affect us, we kind of put that in the back of our minds and
of course, yeah.
really worry about it. So I grew up in Indonesia. I lived there for 17 years and poverty was pretty much all around. And I believe it still is right now. I actually looked it up earlier. Something about like Indonesia is the sixth country with greatest wealth inequality in the world. Like right. the four richest men in Indonesia have more wealth than 100 million people, and it's yeah. crazy. So growing up in this environment and now that I live in the US made me realize how not everybody has the same privilege. And I want to know from your perspective too.
Yeah, well, even like this past year, I believe it was in October around in Chile, there were quite a few protests, like large protests about wealth inequality. Like it's a really big issue there. I find it interesting in that way because in Canada, you don't really see it as much. However, in like a developing country, the socioeconomic classes are a lot more apparent. Whereas I find at least in Canada, they blend a lot more. You don't see it as much, especially because you have a lot of, in Canada, at least you have a lot of social programs mm-hmm. that through taxes and everything are put into place to help people that aren't as fortunate. So there's a lot more accessibility in terms of accessing those programs, whether it be education or health. Whereas in a country like Chile, education, you pay for proper education. You can go to a public school. However, it's not as good, for example, as a private school.
Yeah.
Whereas here, like, you don't really need to go to a private school in Canada. Like, a public or a Catholic school is definitely sufficient. Those boards are definitely, they're well-ranked and their curriculums are well done. Whereas in a country like Chile or another developing country where Chile is one of the better cases of Latin America, even their healthcare system, there's a public and a private route. However, the more fortunate are the only ones really able to access the private. So mm-hmm. yeah, all those things really, they don't show here in Canada. So I guess people maybe don't realize it as much how things differ in different places around the world
mm-hmm.
and how that can really affect people.
Yeah. So what do you think we as a society could do to help increase the awareness of this, you know, basic human rights and injustice that surrounds us?
On like a daily basis, I think if you see something on the internet that resonates with you and that has like a powerful message about it, for someone, for example, just even educating someone on the topic, I think is important. Making information accessible to people. So like basically through the use of social media is what I mean.
Yeah.
Is a really easy way of doing it. And also like listening to people's stories. Like if someone has felt that there was an injustice that they experienced, listening to them, because I think it's important to pass around these messages and to have people know that certain things aren't right and
right.
they can't be done to them. Like,
yeah. Say like right now I come to you and, hey, I want to be an advocate for human rights justice. What do I need to do?
Maybe joining or volunteering for an organization that aligns with those values or something, contributing to something like bigger in that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Where you can like go in and actually help like a greater group of people
yeah.
on a project or something.
Yeah.
That's something I've had a lot of luck with in that way, because the university I attended, we had these community learning partnerships, which would count then if you chose to do so on a volunteer basis for part of your course. So one of them, I was lucky enough, my first placement, I was lucky enough to work with a PhD student working on the stateless people who don't have citizenship. And yeah, and I got to work on that and look at how they are affected in terms of the detention centers in Canada. So how they're detained and everything. So that was one way for me. I put together a whole list of different articles that had talked about this subject, because it wasn't talked about very much, which was interesting. Yeah. So that's like one way of doing it. You're contributing to something greater and addressing like an issue that's there, an underlying issue of something. Because a lot of the time, I think it's hard for us to be like, oh yeah, well, you should go to that country and you should go fight their justice system right. and you should go talk to like their politicians. But at the same time, I think there's a lot of things you can do just like from your desk.
Yeah. And now with social media being very powerful,
yeah.
everything can literally go all over the world with just one post.
Exactly.
So this might be sound cynical, but I just want to be the devil advocate right here. How can we improve this, and how can we make this better if when we take one step forward, we take two steps back? How can we make that better? It just feels like anything that we do, it's going to go back to square one, and yeah. there's always going to be corruption, and there's always going to be wicked people. So how can you stay positive in that sense?
Yeah, I think I felt that a lot this year, especially in my university courses, because I was getting into my fourth year. I was in my fourth year this year, and we were just talking about all these issues going on everywhere, and you start yeah. to feel kind of hopeless in that way. And there's some things you don't even know about that go on. There were a lot of things, issues that I guess just weren't openly talked about generally. Mm-hmm. So the only way I was really able to find out about them were like through my university courses or my professors who had done research on that. Mm-hmm. But one of my professors, she had said one thing that really kind of stuck with me, and it was, choose your issue and that's what you go with. Like, you're not going to be able to handle everything. You can't solve everything. And it's a sad reality, but choose what you want to advocate for and stick to it. Choose that specific issue that really stands out to you and you feel it's important. So for me, it's women's rights within Latin America. Like, I'm very passionate about dealing with the machismo culture and tackling that. So yeah, it kind of puts less pressure on yourself
mm-hmm.
because there's only so much one person can do, and you just do the best you can with that one issue.
That is true. When you pick your battles, it's so much more acceptable, I would say, tolerable.
Yeah, and you're committing to one thing right then, so you're able to do so much more with addressing that issue. So if you have that on like a lot of different individual levels, so you have a bunch of people doing that, mm-hmm. then you're able to have a lot of outcomes for these different issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is so true. Makes me feel a little bit better.
It makes you feel better, no? Yeah.
for sure. If there is just one thing that the listeners can take away from today's episode, mm-hmm. what do you think that would be?
I think it would be educate yourself, like know your rights mm-hmm. so that if you run it, because even in Western society, we run into issues of inequality, injustices, and yeah, like issues regarding human rights. Like, there are still things that happen here. So I think it would be, do your research and know your rights so that if something ever, you come into contact with something like that, or someone close to you does, there's someone there that knows exactly to pinpoint what is wrong.
Yeah.
And how to go about it and address it. And I think it'll benefit like the individual inherently, but also it benefits like society
mm-hmm.
because you're educating, and then you can make more, you can educate others in that way as well.
Yeah. And where would we find that information?
So for example, like I said, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, that one's like, it's supposed to be universal, even though it's non-binding, it's still kind of like the universal, kind of platform for human rights. So mm-hmm. that's on the internet. Like, you can go in and look at each one.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a basic one. And then, for example, in Canada, we have our charter on human rights. I'm not sure if the States has something similar, like an act or something like that, or
I have no idea. See, this is why I need to educate myself.
I think all those things, at least in a Western context, those things should be accessible. Like, there isn't the level of censorship there is in some countries, which would make it harder to access these things.
Yeah.
But at least in a Western context, educate yourself that And those things are out there, yeah, if you know what to look for, essentially.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, I have one more. Well, I got two more questions, but I kind of want to go away from this human rights and justice for a second. I just want to talk about your career path because you want to be a lawyer. So yeah, how's that going? How did you decide you want to be a lawyer? And how did you get your first job after school? Because I know it's hard.
Yeah. Well, in terms of the passion part, it was the story I told you earlier about looking into specifically Guatemala and what was going on with the femicides.
Yeah.
And how that related to the machismo culture being embedded within their national institutions.
Yeah.
That just shocked me. You know, it's kind of a reality, but once you dig deeper into it, you're like, well, I can't believe this actually goes on.
Right.
So yeah, that kind of sparked a fire in me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, what can I do? If I'm studying international development, it's really hard for me to be able to work with laws in that way and do something with it. And whereas I feel like if I were able to become a lawyer, then I'd actually be able to help people more directly on their cases,
mm-hmm.
specifically with what's going on in that regard. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's kind of what I was like, oh, maybe I could go to law school and do something with that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what led me on that path. Yeah. So in terms of a job, I was fortunate enough to land a job after finishing my undergrad. A lot of people, that was one of my biggest worries, finishing a career in international development, just because it's become such a competitive and popular field of study. So I reached out to different people. Luckily, I was already working in the government of Canada. So I ended up reaching out to different people I could find, their contact information. Obviously using the internet, which is a great resource in that way. Reach out. Another piece of advice I'd give someone looking for a job post-graduation is reach out to people by email. It's fine. Yeah. Create a template and just have a solid template and reach out to people, because a lot of people, they don't do that. And they just expect to find a job through applying online, which is also a good way of doing it. However, you're more likely to make a connection with someone and reach someone if you directly message them.
Yeah, for sure.
That's what I did. And I was lucky enough to find someone who saw my potential and really enjoyed that. And what they told me really was it was my Spanish that I speak that they were really interested in. So yeah, if you can add any more skills to your resume or something that makes you stand out a little bit, that's also something that's important.
That is awesome. But how did you find your major? How did you come up with oh, I want to study international development? Because your passion starts when you start researching with this Guatemala stuff that's going on. Yes. But that research was from a class, right?
It was in my second year. Yeah,
exactly. So how did you first find that, oh, I want to pick this major and I want to go forward from there?
Yeah, well, in my 12th grade of high school, so my last year of high school, I took a course called, what was it called? It was called World Issues. So it was labeled as a geography course, and my minor is actually in geography now in university, but because they kind of overlap very similarly in some ways, the social aspects of geography, the human geography. I took a course called World Issues, and my teacher went through each kind of region of the world, in continent, and he went through all kind of the political background and maybe geopolitical issues that went on there, and that really piqued my interest. So then my mom and I were going through some of the pamphlets or booklets from universities, and I said, I want to do something related to that. I knew from that course I wanted to do something related to that, and this seemed to be very similar to that in that way, that I could work with issues that were such as human rights that were found kind of or more exposed to me as well in that course.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that was kind of what piqued my interest to go into international development.
That is so interesting. And I'm so glad you find it. And I'm so glad that you have this passion for you.
But everyone's path is different too. So it really a lot of the time in Western society, we're put into this one box where we have to go to high school, then go to university, then get a job right after university, then decide whether, if not when we finish our bachelor's, whether we want to do a master's or something. I think our generation's going to be a lot better with that, because there is no really defined box.
Yeah, there is like, yeah, for sure. They're more open-minded, I would say.
Yes, yes.
The whole career situation.
Yeah.
Okay, well, last question. Okay. What is on your mind right now?
For me, it's the LSAT test. So that's the standardized test I was talking about to get into law school.
Yeah.
I've just started like a course for that recently to study for that. So I signed up. I've never heard of someone doing this. So we're going to see. So I signed up for June 8th.
Of this year?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So it's in like a little bit less than a month. But the course is designed to like cram everything for you.
Yeah.
And I don't know why for school, it's worked out for me in that way where I haven't spent like too much time on something. I normally just like dedicate like a day or so to mm-hmm. it to do most of it. And that's worked out for me. This might not be the same though. So no one should take my advice. Different for this course I've been told is different for, or the test I've been told is different for everyone. But yeah, that's something that's just like in the back of my mind yeah. at all times
well,
now.
Good luck. I'm sure you'd you. Agree.
Oh, thank you. I hope so. Hopefully.
Okay, so before we go, do you want to give yourself a little shout out where people can find you and ask you more questions about it?
Yeah, so if you want to get in contact with me or have any questions, I'd be happy to connect with you guys. So my Instagram is Daniela Figs, at Daniela Figs. And then my email is at DanielaFigueroa15@gmail.com, which okay. I can pass on to you then if you'd like to have spelling and everything.
Absolutely.
So everyone has the spelling because I know that can be tough sometimes.
Yep. Send it to me and then I'll put it on like the episode description so people can reach out to you.
Thank you.
Of course. Well, thank you so much for, you know, being here. And I'm really glad that we were able to talk about these issues and bring awareness to people so people can, you know, educate themselves and get to know about human rights and injustice and inequalities, pretty much open their eyes into the actual issues. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me on. It was really fun actually to talk about these issues and be able to give people this information so that they can go do their own research and educate themselves. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, all right. Bye now.
Thank you again for having me on.
Of course. Bye. So that is all I get for you guys today. I hope after listening to this episode, you'll become more aware of things that happen around you. You open your eyes and be more aware of your rights. Again, I'm not trying to tell you that we know the answer to the problems that we're currently facing with human rights, inequalities, with injustice. But we just want to have this conversation, just want to raise awareness so people can be more aware of things that are happening around them. So hopefully you enjoyed this episode and I'm looking forward to hear back from you guys. Message me or DM me on Instagram at What's On Your Mind Podcast or at Michelle SCR so we can keep talking about this and raise awareness to these issues. Okay, well, subscribe to this podcast if you haven't done so already. And please rate and review this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or wherever you listen to your podcast so that you don't miss out on next week's episode. So I'll see you guys next week. Bye now.